This is the Carolina Catholic Radio Homily of the Day, featuring Father Herbert Burke of Immaculate Conception Church of Forest City, North Carolina.
So, as we look at our scripture, there's a beautiful quote that I love, especially when I turn on the lights in a room. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And so it's actually a quote from the scriptures, which was in our earlier reading today. So let's think about light. Well, we know John Denver likes it. He sings, "Sunshine on my shoulders makes me happy." And I'm with him. And so, you know, sunshine, I'm happy on a sunny day. I get a little down on these gloomy days, you know, where it's dark and rainy. So what do we need light for? Well, without light, we're not going to see where we're going. And if we're in true darkness, we're just going to be banging on the walls and everything. We won't know where we're going. So light in Scripture is a symbol for truth, spiritual truth. And so we want to have the light of God, which is the truth of God, so we can see the way to walk to get to heaven, the path. And so the truth of God guides us and protects us from the darkness. So I think that light is also a symbol for goodness, you know, and the darkness is a symbol for evil. And also it's a symbol for life and for grace. And darkness is kind of a symbol for death and for sin. So symbols, I think, are great things. They help us use physical things to teach us the truth about spiritual things. Now, one of my favorite quotes about darkness and light is in the Gospel of John. I have it written over there on the wall above the baptism of Jesus. "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness grasps it not." Now, I like that particular translation. It's the one the church had just before the New American Bible. If I was Pope, we'd go back to that one. I'd change the these and the thous, but the other stuff would be the same. So what's so great about that? Well, there's two possible translations. One is, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness could not comprehend it." So it's a question of the darkness understanding the light. It can't do it. And then the other one is, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness could not overpower it." So the idea of a power struggle, which is different from the knowledge. So "the darkness grasp it not" kind of gives you both interpretations or teachings. That's why I love that particular translation of that line in the Greek in the Gospel of John chapter 1. So if light is spiritual truth, then what do we see? Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." He also says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Also, to Pontius Pilate, he says, "I am here to witness to the truth. All who are of the truth shall hear my voice." And so the idea of having a predisposition in our heart and soul to the truth, if we have the kind of heart that's open to God's love and his truth, because our God is a God of sacrificial love. He calls us to carry the cross, you know, to struggle, to serve him. Now, one of the other lines I want to comment on, "Come after me and I will make you fishers of men." And you might read that and say, "Well, that's Father's job." Yeah, but it's yours too. We are part of a team that has been called by Christ, our Savior, to evangelize the world in two different realms. My realm is right here. My job is to maintain a good standard here in the church. I think we have pretty good educational materials and faith formation to teach the children. I hopefully give a half-decent homily, teaching the truth. We have a beautiful church, I think, that hopefully teaches and inspires us when we look at the artwork. And so the priests, the clergy, you know, this is where our domain is. What about the laity? Their domain is to sanctify the world. And it starts at home. Parents are the primary teachers of their children. So you are the missionary of your kids. Who taught me about God first? Had to be my mom and dad, you know? And so, but who's the primary educator of the parents? That's me. So, One day, I'll be standing before the good Lord, and he's going to review my homilies. I'm not looking forward to that moment, but I'm trying. Now, as far as parents go, God bless me. You know, as I get older, I realize, you know, God gives us a lot of blessings that we don't even realize or think of as blessings, and we never even thank him for it. But as I've gotten older, I have thanked him for giving me the most wonderful woman, and my dad, I'm not worthy of them. You know, she was so good. Now, Dad, you know, Dad could be a little rough if I did something wrong. You know, he was a New Yorker and a World War II veteran. And when he got mad, it was the incarnation of the wrath of God. He was kind of dangerous. So fortunately, Mom would stand in the breach and save my life. That's probably the reason I'm still here. So, but Mom, you know, as good as she was, she had a little sneaky side. So there I was, you know, back in around 1972, sitting there watching Bugs Bunny on our beautiful black and white 19-inch Zenith. You know, I thought that was great. You know, we had little rabbit ears, and it picked up WOR and all the free signals that came from New York. And I'm sitting there, and Bugs Bunny's eating a carrot. All of a sudden, there's a carrot in my hand. Where'd that come from? And I look up, and I see the back of Mom going back into the kitchen. Mom gave me a carrot. And I'm, like, watching Bugs Bunny. He's eating his carrot. I'm like, I guess I could eat a carrot. I could be cool like Bugs Bunny. So I eat the carrot. So that's how Mom got some vegetables into me. Now, then there was the other great syrup scandal of 1972, which I learned about from my sister. She spilled the beans. So unbeknownst to me, I was sitting there watching TV. It might have been Speed Racer or one of those other great things, Gigantor, classic stuff. Great stuff. Anyway, so my sister walks into the kitchen and she sees my mom pouring log cabin syrup into the Mrs. Butterworth's bottle. And she goes, Mom, what are you doing? She goes, shh, he won't eat it unless it's Mrs. Butterworth's. So now the thing was, I was always thorough with my waffles. I would put butter in every one of those little holes, and then Mrs. Butterworth was, you know, the icing on the cake, because it not only was it the syrup, but it had butter built in. I mean, you couldn't beat that. So, you know, those were the good old days. So Mom had her moments where she kind of outsmarted me. So, but she was wonderful. So my dad's the one that gave me the miraculous medal. He gave me the Bible. So, you know, he was the spiritual powerhouse there in the family, helping me. Changed my whole life. If he didn't give me that Bible and that miraculous medal, I doubt you and I would be looking at one another right now. I don't know where I'd be, but I wouldn't be a priest. So God used my parents, my mother's wonderful example. I used to borrow her rosary every day off her dresser, and I would pray the rosary. You know, that's what changed my life, as you know from my stories. So the job of the parents, first and foremost, is to evangelize their children through their word and their example. Also, for couples to evangelize and help one another get to heaven. So husbands and wives help each other and their children to get to heaven. And as your kids get a little older, they might be praying for you. I know I was praying for my dad. I didn't pray for Mom. She didn't need any prayers, pretty much. I mean, she was a living saint, in my opinion. But anyway, so Mom and Dad, you know, were there helping me. So to heaven, and that's, you know, that's what your job is. So at home, husbands and wives and children helping, but what about school? What about work? What about strangers? Maintaining the truth of the Catholic faith in what you say and do. You know, we have a culture of death, as the Saint Pope John Paul called it. So we are meant to counter the culture with life. And the culture is going downhill. I mean, you know, you could almost pray for the golden days of the 60s and 70s. We have fallen tremendously. You know, I mean, the number of young people going to church is constantly decreasing. The number of children getting baptized is decreasing. And what else is going on? They're attempting to mainstream Satanism. I have a TV show they came out with and a cartoon, Lucifer. Really? And he's like a good guy in Los Angeles. Like, really? So let me tell you, the devil not only is not a good guy, he's not even partially a good guy. He is the source of all evil among the angels and among the humans. He is the baddest of the bad guys. And so Jesus speaks about him in John chapter 8. He calls him the father of lies and a murderer from the beginning. What does that mean? Well, the serpent told the lie to Adam and Eve, and that led to the murder of their souls and their bodies. So Adam and Eve would live forever, but they died. And their soul died that moment because they committed mortal sin. Now, of course, God forgave them, but the point is the serpent's doing the same thing to every generation. Now, think about this. Would anyone be interested if the demons were to say, hey, you know what, I have to go to hell. I want you to come with me so we can both suffer in agony forever without any hope of getting out. Does that sound like a tempting offer? No way. So how do they get us? They get us with lies. They get us with deception. They try to make the people of the world and us think that evil is good and good is evil. It says in Isaiah, woe to you who call darkness light and light darkness, who call good evil and evil good. So the serpent puts the poison in the minds of men and makes them think evil things are good. For instance, they have turned around the attack on the child in the womb and made it about like it's an attack on a woman. We're attacking her reproductive rights. And I'm like, really? There's no reproduction in this. It's the termination of reproduction. So they're using a good thing, reproduction, and the word rights, to deflect from the truth of what it really is, killing a child. And so they say these other words. It's disinformation. It's lying propaganda from hell so that we can see an evil as a good thing. And there's many other things that hell does to deceive us, to make us think something is a good thing when God and the Word of God tells us very clearly it's not. It's evil. It's sinful. And so, you know, what do? A lot of things in the Bible, the Word of God, would be considered by the world hate speech. Why is that? Because they have been deceived by the serpent, who is the chief source of lies and evil. And so, you know, we don't want to be doing the work of hell, because then we might wind up there. What, one of the most scariest phrases in the Bible, Matthew 25, and he separates the sheep from the goats. The sheep, hopefully we're with the sheep, who are saved. And the goats are the bad guys going to hell forever. And he says to them, depart from me. Now think about it. That's the beginning line. Depart from me. Why would God say that to his people that he created? Because they spent their whole lives saying to God, depart from me. The Bible, depart from me. The church, depart from me. And they went for the things of the world. They went for the lies and deception, for the darkness. So Jesus is going to say to them, depart from me, you accursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for who? For men? No. Prepared for the devil and his angels. Why? Because when we do the work of hell and evil on earth, we wind up in that kingdom. Very sad place. So what do we pray? We pray, our Father who art in heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we want to do the will of God in heaven on this earth. And the world is going to fight us because they have aligned themselves with the fallen angels, and they become the mouthpiece and the hands of evil. So much for the people that are the 1% on top, they control the media, the legal system, the politicians and the judges, and they lie about the child in the womb. They lie about the natural order of a man and woman and child and the definition of a family, and they attack the Word of God and say, no, God is wrong. God is lying. The church is wrong. What they're saying is evil is actually good. What we're saying is good, the church says is evil. They're full of hate speech. Isn't that nice? And so when they die and stand before God, it's going to be a little late. Hopefully they'll repent and straighten out before the end. But that's how people are deceived. That's how people lose their salvation, because of the lies, the darkness. So light and truth go together. It's the spiritual truth of God in heaven that's going to save us. The truth about what? Well, first, that Jesus is the Son of God. Second of all, that he teaches us to follow the Ten Commandments. The world teaches the opposite, especially the fifth and sixth commandment. Thou shalt not kill, and thou shalt not commit adultery or impurity. The world is all about immodest dress, impurity, impure images, violence, you know, violence against the defenseless children in the womb, violence against the elderly, a lot of things. It's very sad, you know, when we look at what's going on in the world. So we need to watch out, for the darkness is all around us. We need to be bringing the light. We need to be bringing the truth. And again, the great mandate, which we see here, you know, part of, come after me and I will make you fishers of men, Matthew 28, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all the nations, not most or half, all the nations, teaching them all I have commanded you and baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So I'm here to baptize, but the parents bring their children here to me to get baptized. I give them first confession. I give them confirmation. I give them Holy Communion. The parents bring them. So that is us working together to evangelize and to save the world, to do the work of Christ. Now, again, you know, maybe we're not successful in getting everyone, but that's not what we're here for. I love Mother Teresa's quote, God didn't call us to be successful, but to be faithful. Because we're working in the world which has the mystery of the interplay between grace and free will. So hopefully, the people that are presented the truth of God will embrace it, live it, and be saved. But, you know, God can't take the free will away from people. He can't make them choose the right thing. So we are representatives of God, of light, of truth, of the truths of the spirit world. And so, you know, we need to watch out, because, you know, when people don't go to church, there's a vacuum in their soul, and they fill it with tarot cards and Ouija boards and occult things and all kinds of strange false spiritual information that the serpent provides, and it brings them darkness, because, you know, lies and darkness are pretty much one and the same. So thank God that we have been given the faith. Let's be grateful, and let's do our best to live it and to spread it.
This has been the Carolina Catholic Radio Homily of the Day on Carolina Catholic Radio Charlotte, 1270 AM, also streaming at carolinacatholicmedia.org and on the Carolina Catholic Media app.